Good to go, Glenn. I am good to go. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today, that we have ears to hear. Come against every distraction in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the anointing to minister this word today, God, that I speak only that is what is from your heart, and that we leave and allow the word to change us and motivate us, encourage us, and propel us to go forth, to keep on moving this year. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Keep on keeping on. Amen. We're going to start out by kind of going over what we did last Sunday. We're going to continue on that line today about keep moving forward. And as I said at the beginning, our scripture is found in Job chapter 17:9, where it says, the righteous keep moving forward. Who are the righteous? It's those that are saved by the blood of Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not anything you did, but simply because of what Jesus did. He has made you righteous. So the righteous keep moving forward, and those with clean hands become stronger and stronger. Amen. And so when you think about keep moving forward, that's the only way that you're going to ever receive the promises of God. It's not quit and give up. It's you have to keep moving forward. Action, moving forward. And last week we took the scripture from Philippians because Paul knew what it was like to keep moving forward. And he tells us in Philippians 3:13-14, he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended or to have arrived. But he said, I do forget. There's one thing I do, he says. I forget about those things which are behind. And then what does he do? He doesn't stop there just by forgetting it. He says, I reach forth. Reaching forth means moving on. Those things which are before. Then he says, I press toward. That word press is an action word. You know, it's not just standing still and not doing anything. He said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then I read it out of the Passion Translation, which I really like. It says, Paul says, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the complete fullness or absolute fullness that I'm pursuing. But he said, I'm not quit pursuing, but I haven't got it all yet. I run with what? With passion. Don't you like that word? I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling force. I forget that which is behind as I fastened. I like that word fastened. My heart to the future instead. I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus. Paul's telling us that I'm not reaching the fullness of what I am pursuing yet, but I'm not going to quit pursuing. And in order for us not to quit pursuing, we have to do what? Keep moving forward. He says he runs with passion. Are you pursuing God with passion? Have you lost your excitement? Have you lost your passion? You know, into his abundance. And so why is Paul doing this? He says, so that I can reach the purpose that Jesus has called me to and he wants me to discover. God wants you to discover his purpose for your life. And in developing that relationship, you discover it as you walk with him on a daily basis. And Paul says, I don't have to worry about doing this in my own strength. I don't do it in my own strength, but I do it in the strength and the anointing of Jesus. And he says, you know, my responsibility, our responsibility is to get up and what? Move forward, which is moving toward that purpose. And Paul says, two compelling things I do is that I forget what is behind and I fasten my heart to the future instead. You know, last Sunday we talked about how vehicles, windshield, is bigger than the rear view mirror for a reason. Because no one ever gets in their vehicle and tries to sit in it backwards because that's not where they're going. right? So your rear view mirror is smaller than your front mirror or window. Why? Because that is where your destination is located. It's the same thing in life. There's a big window in front of you of great opportunity for your future, and that is where it's at. And you're going to accomplish that by not giving up and keep moving forward. If you continue to look back, how are you ever going to go forward? It would be dangerous on the highway, on the real highway, and in our life if we keep looking back. So like Paul, we must fasten our heart to the future. So while living in the present, which makes the future possible, fasten is to join one thing to another so it is firmly fixed. So I ask you the question today, where is your heart? Because wherever your heart is where your passion is going to be. For out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. It says to guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. So what is your heart fastened to? Is it fastened to your job? Is it fastened to your talents? Is it fastened to people? All of those things are going to fail and pass away. But when we have a heart that's fastened, fixed firmly, steadfast with Jesus, he will make all these other things work out in our lives. So where is your heart? What is it fastened to? Is it the world and its way of believing and doing things? Or is it fastened to the Word? Believing and doing the Word way, kingdom way of living. Because all is well in the kingdom of God. And that's what we are supposed to be living out of, is the kingdom way of living. Psalms 57:7 tells us, my heart is fixed. My heart, one scripture, one translation I remember reading said, my heart is steadfast. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. So as we move into this new year, it will be a year of great opportunity. And that's one thing I've been hearing the Lord speak the past few weeks, is this will be a year of great opportunity. And an opportunity is a very interesting definition. It means an appropriate or favorable time or occasion. So when we think about favor, we think about the kindness of God. And I thought about that when Sherry was giving her testimony. The favor of God rests on her because she's accepted Jesus Christ. She has favor in her life. So out of that favor, she sows kindness. And guess what? What you sow is what you reap. So she's reaping the favor of God in her life because of God's kindness. Amen? And it's just like this. Sow, reap. Amen? So Psalms 5:12 said, Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one. And you know the other translation says as a shield. But this translation, I think it's the Passion, says, Lord, how wonderfully you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one and covers them under your canopy of kindness and joy. God's favor, as we know in the New Testament, is his grace. His grace is something we haven't earned. We can't earn God's favor. We can't do nothing to get it. But it's God's kindness and his grace toward us as his sons and daughters. Amen? It's God's kindness. And he said, you bless the righteous. Your favor wraps around each one of us. And it covers us with your canopy of kindness and joy. God's favor was poured out on us at salvation when our sins were forgiven. And then it's displayed in our lives on a daily basis by the indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit, who the Bible says has already sealed us. Wow. So favor is something we experience on a daily basis as we walk life out. And how do you walk life out? Keep moving forward. So walk it out. Walk it out. The favor of God is expressed by his approval, his acceptance, his support, his provision, his power, his joy in our lives. The Bible says, I think it's in Zephaniah, that he dances over his children with joy. God dances over you, not because you're perfect, but because of his kindness and his love that he has shown towards you. So look ahead. Look ahead. Keep moving forward. Look for opportunities, for favor, God's kindness in your life, and then begin to sow that into other people's lives. So when I first heard about this word, Holy Spirit, and moving forward, I thought, well, I literally like a word about supernatural power of God and all those things happening this year. And that's what I said earlier. Without us continually moving forward and walking it out, we're not going to see any of those things if we quit. So it's a very powerful word. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Amen. So if you're going to receive those promises, that is what you have to do. And at all costs, don't become stagnant. Don't become stagnant. Some people suffer from spiritual stagnation. They get to one point and they think that's all there is, or they get discouraged and they want to quit and give up. And it causes spiritual stagnation in our lives. So stagnation means the state of not flowing or moving, when something is stagnant. This happens when drains are blocked. Has your spiritual flow lifeline been blocked? Remember I talked last week about mourning and getting over things and keeping things in the past? Amen. Is your spiritual line been stagnant because of unforgiveness? Remember, forgiveness is for yourself, not for the other person. And as long as you're harboring the bitterness and the anger and all that, you're causing that person to do that to you over and over again. But when you release that forgiveness to that person, you are freeing yourself up with the blessings of God. You all get that? You know, when somebody hurts you and you stay angry at them, what you're doing is they're just hurting you over and over again in your mind because you're reliving it. So how is your spiritual drains blocked this morning? We've got to release it and let it go so that can flow of the Holy Spirit can begin to flow in your life again. So the miracle is ahead of you, not behind you. The supernatural blessings of God are ahead of you, not behind you. Your breakthrough is ahead of you, not behind you. Your manifestation of healing is what? Ahead of you, not behind you. So you need to tell somebody to keep moving. Keep moving. When Kenny was in the hospital those 41 days, they said that it takes every 7 days to get 1 day of your muscles back when you are not using them. Wow. He didn't believe them, so he tried to stand up on his own. Guess where he went? To the floor. Now, where was I going with this? You have to use the word in your life and keep your spiritual muscles active. You have to use the word of God in your life to keep your spiritual muscles active. So God wants you to live in the present while moving toward the future. Because if you are not careful by moving into the future, you will get a someday mentality, and we don't want that. The someday mentality is, well, it'll just be all right. It'll happen someday. That's not moving into the future. Amen. So God wants us to live in the present, be aware of the now, be aware of the present while we move toward the future of what God is doing. And every day that we live in the present, guess what's happened? We are moving into the future. We are being prepared by Holy Spirit. Amen. So your present now turns into the future with what? One day at a time. And that's how we walk it out. Amen. So we cannot get stuck in the past or get stuck in the future or get stuck in the present. Either one of those could be dangerous. And there's a balance. And I've said before, the enemy of your soul doesn't like balance because there's power in balance. So if he can get you to going way over here to where you're so discouraged and poor me, nothing ever happens good to me, or if he gets you way over here, then he knows that you're wishy-washy and there's no balance there. There's power. Have you ever saw someone walk on a tightrope? They have to keep focused. They cannot be distracted. They have to keep their eyes straight ahead. And what does Paul tell us to do? Keep your eyes straight ahead. Amen. So there's power in balance. So we can't get stuck in the past, and we cannot get stuck in the present. So we can easily do this by thinking that this is all there is to it. Well, now it's time to change your attitude. Did you know that you could change your thinking with a blink of an eye? That's how fast you can change your thinking. And if you're dwelling on something over and over, it's because you're not choosing to think, to change your thinking. But you can change your thinking just like that quick. Now's the time to change your attitude and arise and move forward. Exodus 14:15. And the Lord said to Moses, "Wherefore cry unto me, speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." Wow. Israel had spent the last 25 chapters in Exodus. There was no future for them there. They had lived in bondage long enough, and it was time to go forward. Going forward is a God thing, because our God is a God of progression, not stagnation. We should be growing and going from glory to glory. And if we are not, we are stagnated. Amen? So we should be growing and going from glory to glory. So we're doing that. When we are doing that, we are what? We are moving forward. It was for Israel. It is for you. And it is now. Amen? So it was for Israel. It is for you. And it is for now. Israel had lived with a slave mentality, attitude, for 400 years. They had lived in the slave mentality for so long that they forgot what being free was. And that's what happens when you keep looking in the rearview mirror. You keep yourself in a slave mentality. When God says that is in the past, things could have been different. Maybe they should have been different. Maybe you could have done them different. But I have found out you can't redo the past. And that's where you need to leave it at, in the past. Get up, dust yourself off, and keep on going. Amen? So for them, it was hard to go forward, to believe God, to trust God. It would be hard for them. It was hard for them to follow a cloud floating across the sky. Our God's an unusual God. Amen? To believe God would set them free, to believe God would bless them, to leave the only security they knew, to leave the leeks and onions behind. Back there was bondage. In front of them was liberty and freedom. So they had to make a choice to get up and to what? Move forward. So it was hard for them to leave their past because it had become their security blanket. And I read recently, and I thought this was very good. Charlie Brown Christmas movie, Linus, is that how you pronounce his name? That always carried his blanket. Never seen him drop his blanket except at the end of the movie when they said, "Fear not." What did he do? Woo! His blanket dropped. Wow. And that is what God is saying to you today. Fear not. Drop your security blanket of whatever you're trying to hold on to, and let me be God. Amen. Hallelujah. But they were told to arise and go forward, for what God had for them was not in the place where they were at. There is a place called there. And that's where God is pursuing us to and challenging us to go forward. So God had to prompt Israel to go forward a second time. In Deuteronomy 1:6, it says, "The Lord our God spake unto us, saying, you've dwelt long enough in this mountain. You have dwelt long enough here. How long are you going to mourn? How long are you going to stay in that place?" When God says, let's move on so the blessings can start flowing in your life. Let it go. So God had to prompt Israel to go forward a third time. Aren't you glad that God never gives up on us? Even in our stubbornness and all those things, he never gives up on us. And that's awesome. Deuteronomy 2. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke unto me. And we compassed this Mount Seir many days. And the Lord spake unto me, saying, you've compassed this mountain long enough. You've passed this mountain long enough. Go this way, you know. And remember what I talked about, our Google Map, Drive Maps, that I call Polly on my phone? Polly will never tell me to go back and start over, but she will keep me going straight and remind me of the detours if I need to take a detour. And she'll remind me what I've taken the wrong way, but she always gives me another way to go. And that's the same thing with God. Even though we've missed it, we've all missed it. But that should discourage us not to keep on moving forward. Learn from it and press on. So here they were. God's having to tell them the third time, okay, you've been here long enough. Let's move on. Let's move forward. So they had gone in circles for 40 years. Life had become routine. And that's easy to do, is for life to become routine, because we are settled into a mode all the time, especially if you're working. You know, you get up at the same time, you get off at the same time, you do the same thing every day, so it could become mundane, so to speak. Through moving, they were getting nowhere. Though moving, they were getting nowhere. No progress in 40 years. We get in such a habit and of doing things day by day. If we, me especially, I've been known to know that I needed to go somewhere but never got there because I wasn't used to going there. So I have to think about how to get to where I'm going, even though I knew where I was going. You understand what I'm saying? I know how to get to Jamestown every day. Don't no thought about it. Sometimes I look back and I don't remember going down 80. And I'm thinking, okay, you ever done that? But God is a God of the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth chances. Amen. So no true progress was made. This was their spiritual state at the time. They were circling the mountain by their own choice, even though God told them to keep on keeping on. 40 years earlier, God had said, you dwelt on this mountain long enough. And the journey from that mountain, Horeb, to the promised land was actually only 11 days. only 11 days. How long are we going to stay in a place when we should have moved out a long time ago? But it's taken us days and months and discouragement and misunderstanding and all of that stuff to move from that place. When God said the miracle was there all along, all you had to do was to release it and let it go. So it's time to break free. Amen? It's time to break free. You've been circling this mountain long enough. It's time to go forward. So what's holding you back? What's holding you back from not moving forward? The rich young ruler that we're reading out in the Bible, money held him back. Agrippa, questioning held him back. Felix, timing held him back. Demas, the love of the world, held him back. So what is holding you back from pressing forward? We've all got that one thing that we kind of deal with over and over again. It's time to move forward. So how do we keep moving forward in this new year and receive the promises of God that he says is already ours and believe them into manifestation? Well, Abraham in Genesis 12 received a call from God. And so God just shows up and begins to speak to Abram. Not Abraham at this point. Abram. And he said, now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself for your own advantage. Wow. God wants you to move forward, not for him, because he could be God all by himself. He's wanting you to do it for your own advantage, for your own sanity, for your own victory, for your own peace. Amen? And the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. The only way that Abraham was going to do that was to what? Arise, get up, and begin to move. And I will make you of a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing. Here's this favor resting on Abram right here. And you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. We think favor is all about ourselves, but it's not. God not only offers us favor and grace and kindness, he wants us to dispense that to others. Amen? So I'll make you great. So he began to tell Abram, what I've got for you is not going to be found in Haran. Woo! What I've got for you is not going to be in the place of that familiarity. You've got to get away from some things. Maybe it's our stinking thinking, as Joyce Meyer says, that we may have to get away from and begin to think as the Word wants us to think. Get away from what's familiar, the mundane things that we do every day. And he says, that is where your blessing is going to be at, Abram. This is what I'm going to do for your own advantage. Wow, I like that. And in verse 3 it says, "And I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language toward you. In you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves." And as I said a while ago and before, the blessings of God is just not for us. Who knows it's going to, who's out there is just waiting for your testimony. But because we're so busy going around the mountain so many times, God says if you'll just break free from that, there's some people out there that need to be blessed, and I want to bless them through you. Wow. It says, and of the earth be blessed, and by you they will be blessed themselves. There's some people out there that need deliverance. Some people need healing. And they may just be, it may just be a timing of waiting on you to go out there and lay hands on them. Moving forward. So what did Abram do? He didn't go hide. He didn't doubt. Now that the Word says. So Abraham departed. In other words, he got up and he got to moving. So Abram departed as what? As the Lord had directed him. The Lord will never blindly lead you. He speaks to us clearly and precisely. Amen. So Abram departed as the Lord had directed him. And Lot, his nephew, went with him, which he probably should have left him behind. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. 75 years old. We've got a lot of folks in here today over 40. So I want you to know today, good news, this is a prophetic word from God. It's not too late for you. Amen. It's not too late for you to pack up and move on. Hallelujah. So he started to move forward at the Lord's word. At God's word, he started moving forward. Verse 5, Abram took Sarah, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, all their possessions that they had gathered, and the persons, servants they had acquired in Haran, and they went forth to go to the land of Canaan. Canaanites were in the land. Now, on your journey to that moving forward place, to that place, there's going to be Canaanites in your land. And the nights in the Bible was always causing trouble for the children of Israel. And there's going to be night demons in your life that's going to harass you and try to stop you from going forward. Then the Lord appeared to go into the land of Canaan, verse 7. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give you this land to your posterity. So Abram built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So on your way of keeping moving forward, you never know the blessings of God that awaits you. Obedience, trust, faith, and obedience. Abram kept moving forward. At verse 8, from there, he pulled up his tent, and here he goes again. He departed again. So you never know in your living in your present moment, moving forward, God says, okay, let's change directions. We're going to go this way now. Amen. Our responsibility is to listen and what? Obey. Even when we don't understand. From there he pulled up his tent and departed to the mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent, and again he built an altar to the Lord, and again he called upon the name of the Lord. Verse 9, Abram kept moving forward. Here he goes again. Abram journeyed on, still going toward the place that God had directed him to go. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, urged by faith. Wow. Urged by faith. Don't you like that? Urged by faith. Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and what? Went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. You are destined to receive the inheritance of God that he has bestowed on each and every one of us. But if you don't reach out by faith and claim it, it's just going to sit there. It's already there. If you got a letter in the mail that says you need to come to the lawyer's office, you've been left an inheritance. It's going to sit there till you die and go to be with the Lord if you don't get up and go forward to get it. Amen? And he went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he had to go. Don't allow your heart to be troubled when God says, this is the way that I want you to go. Don't try to figure out how it's going to be financed or who the people are going to go with you. You just mind your business and do what God told you to do. Amen? Faith in action is what is going to compel us to keep moving forward in 2020. And we will encounter a lot of things this year. But one thing I do know is that God has already gone before us. And nothing is ever going to take him by surprise. And when we keep that in our spirit and our heart, we can say, whatever befalls us this year, Lord, I know that you've already taken care of it. It may take us by surprise, but it doesn't take God by surprise. Amen. Verse in Hebrews 11, known as the Hall of Faith, we know. Verse 1, 11, 1 reads, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. In other words, we cannot see what's out there. All we were told was to move forward. All we were told was to move forward. But it's all the evidence we need to require to prove what is still unseen, this faith we're talking about. This testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. God was a speaking God, and he has made us a speaking people. That's why we have to watch the words of our mouth, because we create the atmosphere in our life by the words that we speak. So if God says to move forward and we start grumbling and complaining and not wanting to get up and do what we need to do, guess what? We've created the atmosphere of discouragement over us. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. Verse 6, and without faith living within us, but we know that it does. Amen. It would be impossible to please God. But we can please God. Not in a way of trying to make him think that he likes us. That's not the way you please God. Pleasing God is being obedient. It's trusting him. Amen. That's what brings joy to us. That's what brings joy to us when our children, our natural children, are following God and doing what we've taught them. For God, for we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real And what does he do? He rewards the faith of those who give all their passion, there's that word passion again, and strength into seeking him. When your heart is fastened to God, when your heart is fastened to him, sealed in the blood of Jesus, there's a passion there. There is a passion there. So we read over and over in Hebrews 11 these words, by faith. In verse 4 it says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Verse 7, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, went out, not knowing whether he went. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him who faithful who had promised. Wow. 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and that he received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped. Whew. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they weren't afraid of the king's commandments. 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. How are we moving forward in 2020? By faith. Not knowing where we were going, simply because God said it's time to move forward. It is time to move forward. And you begin to move forward by maybe rethinking some things. Renewing your mind with the word. All these people we read about in these scriptures were by faith. By faith, they were compelled. They were urged, they were aroused in their spirit to go forth and be obedient, to believe, to trust, to obey, and to keep moving forward. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't quit now. Don't quit now. Amen. Hallelujah. God has got you. He has got you covered. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for this word today. And you have commanded us, Lord, to move forward. To move forward into the plan and purpose that you have for our individual lives and as a church, God, and as a body of believers, to move forward in what you've called us to do. In unity, there's power in unity. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That we're not giving up, but we are being compelled and urged and aroused to take faith action into what you're calling us to do in this season. Through faith, we've seen so many things happen even in our own lives, God, with our children and with the grandchildren and with our jobs and all those things, Father, that we go about and do from day to day. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that every day is a new day, a new opportunity. And we're looking for opportunity to show other kindness and favor. Father, you said that your favor over us is a canopy and it covers us. It's a shield that surrounds us, that we are favored by you. And your loving kindness, Lord, and your goodness, as we sang about this morning, rushes to catch us, God. And we're so thankful for that. Thankful for that, Jesus. Thank you for this place, Lord. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for this body of believers. Thank you for those that are coming in to be part of what you're doing in this time, God. Lord, I just speak again that your people are highly favored by you. I thank you that we are blessed to be a blessing. Your favor rests upon us. Your grace rests upon us, not just for our sakes, but so that we could be a blessing to others, even as you said Abraham would be. Thank you for your word that we've hid in our heart, God. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. I thank you, Father God, for that one that's needing to make a decision this week concerning some things in their family. I just speak that you have the mind of Christ. I speak wisdom, the wisdom that you have is going to be able to cause you to make the right decision. And the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you what you need to say, what you need to do, and I even hear the words right. God is going to show you favor in that situation. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I speak healing to the feet right now. If you're having problems in your feet, if you're listening or you're here or listening to this later, this word is relevant for whenever you hear it. I speak to your feet to be healed in the name of Jesus. Whatever's causing the pain there, we curse it at the very root, and we speak healing into you in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you for your healing power, God. Thank you, Father God, for your healing power. Fear not, fear not, fear not. God says, I go before you and I will make the way. And I will show you as you go what to do. Do not be anxious about anything, but trust me. Trust me. I am your Father. I am your provider. I am your healer. And I can be to you whatever you need me to be at that moment. Oh, he's a God of great compassion. And he has nothing but love for us. He has nothing but love for us. And we're so thankful for that today, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for complete healing of Pastor right now, God. And from where he's had surgery, I think of the swelling. It's going to go down. His voice is going to be strong. We just speak that over you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in Bobby and Vivian's life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And the church said, amen and amen.